Among the things which I do to keep myself busy 6 days a week is working for a pharmaceutical company. And this company is a manufacturing unit where we make what in the jargon we want to confuse everybody, we call them small volume parenterals, meaning injectable medicines. And we also make sterile eye drops and ear drops. As the saying goes, in any manufacturing unit, you cannot put quality in the final product at the end of the process. This has to be built in from the inception. Therefore, to assure that you have a quality product at the end of the process, there are four categories we look at, and these are called the four M's. Men, are they healthy? Are they trained for the job they're to do? Material, is it of a pure and good quality? Machinery, will it be adequate for the job you are going to do? And finally, the method you are going to utilize. Are these methods clear for these men? Are these methods easy to be followed and to be done? The final aspect in a sterile environment where you're making injectables, which you're going to put into people, is the environment you are working in. And purity of air plays a very extreme role. A normal room like this, if we were to bring in a particle counter, would give us a reading of 300,000 particles per cubic meter in a second. Your normal operating theater is set at about 10,000 particles per cubic meter per second. In making these products, in order to ensure that we're not including any microbes in them, we go even further than that. The room for cleaning the machines is 100,000. The mixing room is 10,000. But where we are now finally enclosing the product, the filling room, we drop down to 100 particles per cubic meter per second. This is the same quality which they use for your shuttle, the Discovery, Challenger, and those. They're assembled at that high quality level. Why am I talking about all these quality aspects? Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. What I was coming up to was that as humans, we take a lot of interest in making sure that the product comes out with a good quality. The eternal God has also an interest in us. We have been prepared to be kings and priests. And 1 Peter 1, beginning from verse 15, but as he who has called you is holy, you also must be holy in all your conduct. That's what the Eternal Father gives us. Our conduct should be holy. In Matthew, he tells us that become perfect as your Father is perfect. So we see that we already have a mission statement put before us. Our conduct should be of a holy nature. For the last 6 days, we've been depicting coming out of the world, and today we are into the seventh day, which is the millennium, which will show the millennium. We've physically withdrawn ourselves from our normal day-to-day dealings. We've been set apart. And being set apart is being sanctified or put aside for holy use. To give a good example of this, I think you've all noticed I put a piece of paper on your desk. You don't need to turn to these verses, but you know you can jot them down. The first temple was built by Solomon. The scripture for that is 1 Kings 6:14. Then when that was destroyed in Haggai, as was mentioned earlier during this feast, we see the rebuilding of the Lord's house. This is in Haggai 1, verse 14. Currently, that temple is in ruins, and only parts of the wall are still remaining, and the Jews go there to nod their heads or pray and worship. But when we come to the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, we find that there is a temple. And right now, I'm looking at temples before me. The temple which is existing right now is our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can look at it in your own time, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Therefore, we are already representing this holiness. We are the temple of God. Why I took out this drawing to show you it's interesting when you look at the building, you know, the plan of the building gives you a cluster of buildings. But there's something else which was interesting when going through Ezekiel chapters 40 to 47, talks in detail about the service in the temple, the design of the temple, etc. And in there, we do find that on the outer walls, the very outer walls there, this was called the court of the Gentiles. Gentiles were allowed to come only as far as those outer walls. When you're talking in black and white, or when you're looking at the black and white picture, certain characters disappear. But if you look carefully, between this outer wall and that inner wall there, there's a little line there. This line was called the Soreg. And that was a boundary up to where the Gentiles could go when they came to the physical temple in Jerusalem. And beyond that, only Israelite men were allowed to go through. And of the Israelites, these needed to be those who were clean, who had not defiled themselves by coming close to a dead body. And as it was, when you came in contact with a dead body, you were considered unclean for 7 days. So an Israelite man, if he was clean, he could proceed further. Similarly, women who had just given birth, when we look at Leviticus, it does tell us that for a boy child, 33 days. For a girl child, 66 days. During that period of purification, they weren't allowed to go further than the Soreg if they came to the temple. Inside there, we see the women's court. That's where the Israelite women could go to, those who were pure. But when you come from the Soreg, going further there, there were 12 steps. So the level of sanctity or holiness increased. Again, coming into the women's court, you went a further 12 steps. Then from the women's court, you also see an arrow there showing you the court of Israel, where the clean men were allowed to go to when they were presenting their sacrifices. And then there are those interesting words there, Mizbeach, which was the outer altar where the burnt offerings were done. This is right at the door of the sanctuary. And the Haikar, which is the sanctuary, and these contained the Holy of Holies, and there were other storage rooms where they had all the temple vessels kept, etc. But we notice that as you go further in, holiness increases. Why am I talking of that holiness? Because Revelation 3:12 tells us that the overcomers are going to be pillars in the temple. And looking at pillars, we're not only talking of the pillars, the two pillars which were at the entrance, Jachin and Boaz, but we are looking at the pillars which are holding the superstructure. We're going to be in the very presence with God in the millennium. And this temple which will exist, entails that we are right at the center of all that what will be happening. The healing waters which will heal the seas is going to flow from that temple. Let's turn to Revelation 21:3. Interesting thing, when you have a lot of papers that get in the way. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Finally, in verse 22, same chapter, we read something very interesting. I saw no temple in that new city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. I was saying, I didn't give you a title. Those who are looking for a title, taking it from the cleanliness we started with, the title I would give is, and the world uses it in hospital settings, cleanliness is next to godliness. To approach, to present your sacrifice, you had to be of a clean state. You didn't need to have exposed yourselves. Women with emissions were not allowed to come even into the court, the women's court. So in approaching God, there was that need to come and be clean. The Protestant attitude of just as I am, coming before the eternal God, has to be put aside. We need to be worked into holy vessels, and we're going to be the pillars which are going to be standing in the temple. Final thoughts. And the first word, final thoughts, they're free. What do we need to look at in order to be holy? A, our thoughts. What do we allow to come into our mind? What do we allow, you know, the society we're living in, the papers are not as innocent as they used to be when I was growing up. Television, which was supposed to be an education tool, has tended to be something. You go for a movie, most of the time you have to keep your eyes closed. So what do we allow to preoccupy our minds? And as these thoughts come in, and you know, it's not that we just let these things flash before us, but they flash in and go and register themselves in the subconscious mind. When you're idle, when you're not busy with something, they come back and you know, they start playing with you. The next one is words. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the man speaks. What sort of words do we come up with, and how do we encourage people to come prepare themselves for what awaits us? And the last one is deeds. The world has coined the phrase, actions speak louder than words. And definitely what we do tells a lot about what we are. In closing, let's turn to Colossians 3. We'll read verses 12 and 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. If you can see, all those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And you know, currently we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So put on these things which are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But above all, verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Yes, in preparing for the millennium, for the new coming government, I'd say cleanliness is next to godliness. My last thought, holiness is godliness.